He says pain management is his calling. So we're getting to know Dr. Thomas Nasser, a physiatrist and medical director of the Rehabilitation Institute at Palmdale Regional Medical Center. This is Palmdale Regional Radio with Palmdale Regional Medical Center. Thanks for joining us. I'm Joey Waller. Hi there, Dr. Nasser. Welcome. Appreciate the time.
Good morning.
So first, what is a physiatrist for those unaware?
Well, I didn't luck out with a glamorous name. You know, the orthopedic surgeons and neurosurgeons and some of the other doctors get these really great names. I'm a rehabilitation specialist. And so we focus on function, rehabilitation. When people have suffered from injuries or trauma or pain, we help them to get back to their routine and regular daily living. That's what a physiatrist does. We're rehabilitation specialists, oftentimes because people who can't live their daily life in a fluid way without because of injury or things that pain is involved. And so it's common for physiatrists to practice pain management concomitantly with rehabilitation to help facilitate getting back to things and back to their life. And function is our primary objective.
Gotcha. Well, physiatrist is impressive sounding, so congratulations on that.
Yeah. We try to make it sound impressive. You know, like I said, it's not a glamorous name and it's not a household name. No one walks down the street and says, oh my gosh, I need a physiatrist. My back hurts.
Now, no one says that to themselves, but they may very well, in fact, need one. And that's what we're going to talk about. So first, what inspired you to a career in healthcare in the first place, and specifically in rehabilitation? What was the original motivation there?
You know, that's a really big question. It's interesting. A friend asked me a similar question about a week or two ago. Not to sound corny or cliche, but I reached back in my memory bank to a time when I was a little boy and my mom was taking me to school in the second grade. And the reason I know it was the second grade is because I was going to a new school as I had just moved to California from New York. She had dropped me off in front of the school. And as I was getting out of the car in front of us had another little boy getting out of the car. And before he could get out of the car, his parents had to get his wheelchair out first. And they got his wheelchair out. And it's hard for me to tell this story and maintain my emotions, so forgive me. But, you know, his father had reached into the car and lifted this boy up with his arms and set him into the wheelchair. And I was so moved by this because I knew that that kid couldn't reach the drinking fountain like I could. That kid couldn't go down the slide like I could. That kid might have even gotten ridiculed by the other kids in class. And, you know, that really just hit me. And I couldn't even understand at that age why it hit me. But it hit me. And I was very moved by this child, this classmate of mine. And I would watch him, you know, during recess and as we would go about our day at school. And I didn't really understand that. But as I got older, I felt very compelled to help people. And I felt very compelled to defend people when they were at a disadvantage. And that grew as a passion as I got older. Unfortunately, in my mid-teens, when I was just 17 years old, my father died from a drug overdose. And all of these things, I grew up in a very, we didn't have much. We were very poor, actually. The opportunity to even go to college or do something was this grand opportunity. And I had a big brother who was just really a tremendous inspiration. And he used to encourage me and he'd say, you know, you could be anything, Tom. You know, you can do anything. Don't sell yourself short. He believed in me and my mom believed in me and I have a good relationship with God. And I felt very inspired to go after medicine. When I initially went into healthcare, I liked sports. I liked, you know, orthopedics, sports medicine. I liked the neurologic system. I wanted to be a neurosurgeon. I wanted to, you know, operate on brains and things like that. I had good grades. I could do it. But I found this field called physiatry. And physiatry involved a very hands-on, engaging way of taking care of people as a physician where you really participate and the aftermath of the trauma and the aftermath of the difficulty as they try to regain their lives. And in the context of that, I also discovered pain management. And I found that in these patients, when I'm able to control their pain, I can really help them get going and get back to what they wanted to do with their life. And that's on a wide scale, from sports injuries all the way down to brain injuries or strokes or spinal cord injuries. We have patients with major limb amputations. Having lost my father at a young age to drugs, and unfortunately, about 3 or 4 years ago, my brother, who was a big inspiration for me, to the same, I have a personal connection with that kind of a thing and rehabilitation. I have a cousin who I grew up with, who's also a physician, and he's an addiction specialist. So both from a personal and professional standpoint, and I believe in my heart I was called by God to do this. I've been put here, and that's a bit of my engine every day. I recently took a vacation with my kids to San Diego. It was a wonderful vacation, had a good relaxing time. And you know, when you go on vacation, sometimes you think, boy, I want to do this all the time. I'm looking forward to retirement. And I couldn't wait to get back to work. And when I went to work Monday morning last week and I saw some patients in the hospital, I was just like, wow, you know, I love doing this. I love helping people. There's an energy and a passion and a culture behind it that is very fulfilling for me. And I think that that kind of dates back to these stories that I'm telling and why being a physician and particularly a physiatrist and in pain management is just right for me. I hope that's not too elaborate or verbose of an explanation, but that's the kind of snapshot of it.
Au contraire, we appreciate you sharing all of that. And how noteworthy that even as a second grader, you had that kind of empathy for that boy that led to all this. What are some of the more common conditions you treat?
In physiatry, we tend to see a lot of brain and spine injury. We see a lot of sports injury. In our rehabilitation unit, we have people with strokes, spinal cord injury, amputations, trauma with motor vehicle crashes, major multiple fractures. We also see people who are ill, heart failure or breathing problems, infections or other medical conditions. And those conditions have brought them to the hospital and they become subsequently very weak. And because of that weakness and those medical conditions, they have to stay in the hospital for their rehabilitation. So they come to our rehab unit and we help them to get stronger. We help them to walk, bathe themselves, feed themselves, be able to get in and out of their homes and their cars. Anything that, you know, us able-bodied humans take for granted in our regular day that can be taken from us by injury or illness, we help people regain.
And so toward that end, Dr. Nasser, how about some of the latest techniques or technology being used at Palmdale Rehab Institute?
In the rehabilitation unit and at Palmdale, there are some really fantastic, exciting things we're doing. We are using AI. The AI helps us build protocols for rehabilitation. It helps us engage with the patients as well. Something that I particularly like, you know, we do like with our stroke patients, we do mirror therapy or constraint therapy. We do multidisciplinary therapies where the physical and occupational therapist are co-treating and working together on a patient. We're real cutting edge. We like to go after the newest technology and the newest opportunities with a lot of our patients. I'm particularly excited about a new study that has come out involving peptides. And there is a new peptide that's been discovered and being utilized in a national study for spinal cord injury. And we're trying to enroll some patients into that study. Patients can self-enroll where they take a once daily injectable peptide. And the study is expecting and hoping that this helps people with what was previously considered permanent injury to have more of a neurologic recovery. These are all preliminary things, but I've been doing this for 24 years and it's reason to be excited when we see these things come across and we get chances to participate in it. You know, we're a small hospital, we're in a rural town, but you know, we're not too far from the big name people in Los Angeles that share these studies with us and give us opportunity to enroll patients or get involved with them.
That's great. So as you well know, patients sometimes get impatient or discouraged during rehab. How do you help motivate them? How do you get them over that hump and help them to realize that time will often be their best friend when it comes to getting better, right?
We all go through storms in life and we all go through difficulty, whether it be because of an injury or, you know, illness and you're in the hospital, or we have personal challenges, whether they be financial, emotional, mental, whatever it is in our lives. I heard a term that's not a real term, but I'm going to use it anyways. It's called stick-to-itiveness. I love this term because I think that taking things one day at a time and appreciating the importance of that day and that time and continuing to just push through and respecting the temporary nature of the things that we're typically going through, especially with rehabilitation, is a strategy that I use to encourage and motivate patients. And I tell them things like, you know, one step at a time, as long as we're making progress, even if it's a tiny bit each day, all of the inches add up to eventually a foot and then a yard. And then the next thing you know, you've got a mile under your belt. My cousin, who is a brilliant man, and in case he ever listens to this podcast, I want to say his name is Stuart Gannis. He's so smart. He works in the insurance industry as a consultant, has taught me a lot. And something he said to me a long time ago when I was facing a challenge, he said, how do you eat an elephant? And I had no idea what he was getting at. And he responded with one bite at a time. And I still use that. And it's true. And I tell my patients that we've got an elephant to eat. We've got a mountain in front of us. And we're only going to get through it one day at a time, one step at a time, one bite at a time. And if we really just focus on that next step or that next bite or that next piece in front of us, and we do our very best with that little piece, then we're going to be just fine. And the piece that's after that, it's not going anywhere. It'll be there when we're ready for it. And so that type of thing and that type of energy is what I try to put into my patients. And I'll tell you, it's just really something that I've learned being in rehabilitation all these years is it's just fascinating to me what we are all capable of, what we are really, really capable of. And what's even more fascinating is how much we underestimate ourselves and don't realize that true potential. And I think if we can tap into that spirit in people, that God-given strength and potential that's in every one of us, and get a patient to crack it open and use that, it's amazing. Because when we have the patients that do that, and they have the support system, they have the encouragement, they have the people around them, they can open their minds and their hearts and really tap into that, it makes me look like the most successful doctor in the world, but it's not me doing it. It's just this magical energy, this thing that we are given innately inside of us. And I think we look around at our culture, and our culture tends to tell us we're not strong enough, we're not smart enough, we're not good enough, and that kind of a thing. And we need to be all these other things. But really, we have what it takes. We have what we need. We'll continue to receive what we need. It's a mentality. And you know, we're never going to reach heights higher than how we see ourselves in our head. So we have to see ourselves at those levels. And that means whether we're trying to conquer things in the business world or the academic world or in the health world with the types of injuries that we see and the illnesses. And so that's my most powerful tool with my patients, is really getting them to understand their potential and understand what they're capable of and reach for that.
That's great to hear. So a couple of other things before we let you go. You alluded earlier to the great vacation in San Diego with your family recently. Generally speaking, how do you spend your free time away from work?
Well, I have a family that I love very much. I have three wonderful children. I have a fiance in my life. I have three sisters and my mom. My mom is 82, going to be 83 years old soon. So I love to spend time with her and my stepdad as well. I love ocean boating, go out on the ocean. I like to go out in the water and do all the typical water sports, whether it be, you know, surfing or e-foiling or those types of things. I'm a basketball fanatic. I can't help it. I try not to be sometimes, but I'm a crazy Laker fan, and I love to go to Laker games, and I love to play basketball, do all kinds of things like that with my kids and my family. Where I find the time to do that, I don't know, but that's the kind of stuff that I like to do.
Well, since you mentioned, Doc, that you're a Laker fan, I know that Luka Doncic is suddenly all ripped.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Got this brand new body and workout routine. Did you have anything to do with that?
No, I did. I prayed for him and I cheered him on from home. I don't know if that affected it, but I'm counting the days till the opening season, opening game, and I bought his new sneakers and a jersey and all that. So I'm ready.
That's great. And then finally, in summary here, I'm sure there are many. Do you have one particular success story for you and yours at the Institute that best illustrates the great work that you and yours do?
There are so many, but If I had to choose one, I would choose a gentleman who came to our rehabilitation unit after a stroke. And this was a very powerful guy. It was in the military and had many men at his command, still working in the military when he unfortunately had a stroke. And I didn't know this much about him until he had come to our rehabilitation unit. He couldn't walk and really couldn't speak much because of the stroke. And his wife would come visit him every day. And a couple of times she told me, you know, my husband was very active at work. He was a very powerful man. He was able to do a lot of things. There were a lot of men that he commanded. He was very effective, and that brought him a lot of joy. And he's very sad that he can't do these things anymore. And we worked really hard with him for about a month. And my last time that I saw him at the hospital, at the rehab hospital, he didn't want to be in a wheelchair anymore. He didn't feel like himself. And his wife would come visit with him every day at lunch. And he never spoke much. The speech therapists were working with him to get him to talk, to get him to speak better. And on his last day, they picked him up out of the wheelchair. He was pointing to a regular chair while he was in a wheelchair. We couldn't understand what he wanted. And they picked him up out of the wheelchair because I figured he didn't want to be in that wheelchair anymore. And they put him in a regular chair. And his wife came and they had lunch. And our rehab unit's got this beautiful view of the valley. And him and his wife sat in the corner of the dining hall and they looked out at this beautiful view and they had lunch together. He was in a regular chair, not a wheelchair. And when I went over to check on him and tell him we were doing his discharge papers and getting him all ready, he said very, very little to me, if anything at all, through his whole 3-week stay. But he looked up at me and he said, "You have no idea what you've done for me." And I was so touched by that because I knew that he could talk and he was in a regular chair. And the emotional trauma of having that stroke was even just the fact that it was even just a little bit alleviated by what we were able to do for him and help him with was really a magnificent thing for me. And I know it's not a story about a person who got up and ran out and played sports and their whole life was back. But for this man, being able to sit in a regular chair and have a conversation with his wife was enough to give him back a life that he really missed and made him feel fulfilled. The rest of that story leads on that he did do some outpatient therapy and he got some of his function back, not completely, but enough to go back to living his life. That story has always touched me because I do think it's the simple things that we take for granted. And when you lose those simple things, it really hits you.
Well, that says it all about what you all do. And again, we appreciate you sharing that. The emotion really certainly comes through, Doctor. Folks, we trust you have now gotten to know Dr. Thomas Nasser and what a physiatrist does. Dr. Nasser, keep up all your great work. Such a pleasure to hear about your work and your interesting background. And I hope we can do it again. Thanks so much again.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And for more information, please visit swhpalmdaleregional.com/ARU. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it on your social channels and check out the entire podcast library for topics of interest to you. Thanks again for being part of Palmdale Regional Radio. Physicians are independent practitioners who are not employees or agents of Palmdale Regional Medical Center. The hospital shall not be liable for actions or treatments provided by physicians.